Your Bibles this morning, turn to Galatians chapter 1. A number of months ago, I received a phone call from a woman who informed me that I had won a free subscription to 10 different magazines. She verified my name and my address and assured me that the magazines would arrive in my mailbox in just a short time. But then she added, all you need to do is pay the $9.95 shipping and we will send you the magazines. She offered me these three magazines, but there was a catch. I had to pay the shipping and handling. You know, many people add to salvation. Many people in our society, many churches in our society add to salvation. They say you've got to do this, or you got to do that, or you got to read this certain Bible, or you got to dress a certain way, or you got to perform a certain way, or you got to do certain things in order to be saved. I want you to know this morning that salvation is by grace only. Right. God provided the salvation that we all have. And you cannot buy it, you cannot earn it, you cannot get it from any other way except through Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ, His shed blood is the only avenue that we can have salvation. Amen. Because He went to the cross, He paid the sin debt for all of us, and He provided a way for us to be rejoined to God. We were separated by God when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Amen. That caused a gulf to be applied to every Christian, every person in this life. There was a great gulf that God had to close somehow. Amen. And He closed that gap through Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died, He brought that gap together and made a way for all of us to become children of God. And without Jesus, without that shed blood, I don't care what religions teach, I don't care how many preachers preach, that you got to do something added to grace to be saved. You cannot add anything to it. You cannot take anything away from it. By grace, God's amazing grace, we are saved. Amen. The Bible is very clear that only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ can we become a child of God. This is nothing new. Paul wrote the letter to the Galatian churches 2,000 years ago to refute the false teaching that in order to be saved, you had to follow the law of Moses in addition to accepting Jesus Christ. These Jews taught that you had to have something added to salvation. They taught that you had to be circumcised. They taught that you had to keep the law. They taught all of these things had to be added to salvation. Paul clarified that you can only be saved through the shed blood of Christ. We're going to spend the next few weeks together studying the book of Galatians and rejoice together in the fact that God gives us the gift of salvation by His grace and that there's nothing whatsoever we can do to earn it. Not giving money, not attending church, not doing good deeds, not doing anything can you earn salvation. It is only by the grace of God. I stand before you today as a person who knows without a shadow of a doubt that I have been forgiven of all of my sins, that I'm loved by God, and that when I die, I will spend an eternity in heaven. I can make that seemingly bold statement, and you can make it too. Not based upon anything that you have done or that we are presently doing, but solely on the grace given to us as the gift from God. As we begin this series, Growing in Grace, this month, there are three foundational statements that we need to accept as Christians that will help us to better understand God's grace. These foundational statements are important to every Christian. To make these three foundational statements we're going to go over today, so that you will know without a shadow of a doubt that you can tell someone about Jesus, that you can tell them that you are a child of God, that you can share with them the testimony that you have so that they might become a Christian as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come and bring your word this morning. We pray, Father, that you would be blessed by the bringing of your word and that you would be glorified through everything we say today. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. Amen. First foundational truth is I accept the testimony of Paul. I'm going to accept the testimony of Scripture. In a court of law, it is not uncommon to have a witness take a stand that give contradictory testimony. The witness for the prosecution testifies one way, while the witness for the defense testifies another. When Paul wrote to the Galatian church, they were hearing one side of the testimony. The group known as the Judaizers were testifying that to be a true Christian, you not only had to accept Christ, you also had to be circumcised and follow the Old Testament law. Paul begins this letter by giving us the other side of the story, and he challenges us to accept the testimony that is coming from the most reliable source. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. I want you to see what Paul said, and I want you to understand very clearly. Paul, an apostle, and he says, not of man. It wasn't man that called him. It was God that called him. It was not man that empowered him. It was God that empowered him. Paul got his education by a man in what we would call a seminary today, but he got his real power from God. Amen. He got his real knowledge from the God that gives all knowledge. Amen. The Bible says, the Spirit shall bring all things to your remembrance. He'll teach you the things of God. Man cannot teach you anything that God cannot teach you. God knows every need we have. God knows everything we need to preach. God knows everything we need to speak. God knows everything you need to tell a person you're witnessing to. So accept that testimony. First, accept the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Paul informs us that he's not just anybody talking here. He is an apostle of Jesus Christ. By stating this fact, he is claiming the authority of Christ for what he is going to write. Unlike the legalist who were self-appointed to positions of power, Paul's authority is derived directly from the ultimate source of authority, which it was God. The same is true today. Do we want to believe the testimony of legalists in our mindset, or do we want to accept what a divinely appointed apostle has to say? That is the question I have for you today. Do you want to accept the words of man, or do you want to accept the words of someone that has known God personally and Jesus Christ personally in the Scriptures, which was the Apostle Paul? He says in his passage that he did not receive these neither by man nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. This is very important. Paul wasn't empowered by anybody but God. Paul realized he had to give this testimony. And then we have, secondly, the testimony of God Himself. Paul's calling came from Jesus Christ and God who raised him from the dead. This one who yields the power of resurrection is backing up everything that Paul has to say to the Galatian church and to each of us today. Thirdly, we have the testimony of the church. Not only does the apostle speak from his apostolic office with authority of God Himself, he speaks for the church of Jesus Christ down through the ages. He sends his greetings from the brothers and sisters who he is penning his letter to in this church. The testimony of the true church of Jesus Christ has always been and will always be the salvation is by grace through faith, nothing more and nothing less. This is what we need to realize, that salvation is by grace alone, not by anything we can do.
Amen.
It is by grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was telling this church. That's what Paul wants us to know today, that we cannot be saved by good works. We cannot be saved by doing good deeds. We cannot be saved by anything except through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It should be clear in this passage that we see that Paul was saying the authority that anything that can be taught to us of self-appointed teachers of legalist nonsense that try to add to what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. And I mean no offense to you today when I say that I will accept what the Apostle Paul has to say and what God the Father has to say and what Jesus Christ has to say and what the church down through the ages has to say before I will accept what you or anybody else has to say if it is contradictory to that testimony. And you should freely say the same thing to me. If my testimony contradicts the teachings that we're going to learn from Paul, then you should reject it as a false teaching. I hope you join with me today in proclaiming this foundational truth. I accept the testimony of these things, of Paul, of God Himself, and the testimony of the church. Those three things testify that Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation. Grace only can come through Him. He is the means of salvation for everyone, not just one denomination, not just a few people. Christ died for everybody. Christ died on the cross for all of us. Christ died on the cross so that we might be redeemed in His blood. Secondly, I accept the cross. I will never understand grace until I understand what Jesus did for me at the cross over 2,000 years ago. It is only in the cross that I begin to perceive that nothing I can do, think, or say will ever equal the gift that God has offered to me in the form of a murdered God hanging helplessly on the tree. Galatians chapter 1, look in verse 3 and 5. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. First of all, Jesus died for us. He was our sacrifice. It is hard to comprehend the fact that God has looked at each of us as individuals in all of our rebellion, selfishness, and our sin, and decided that we were worth dying for. Think about that. God looked down through humanity. He saw all of our failures. He saw all of our mistakes. He saw all of our chaotic lives. and he still sent his son to die for us. That, my friend, is worth rejoicing today. Yeah. That God loved us so much that he sent his son, and that we could be redeemed from all of the curse of the law. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says this, "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for us while we were sinners. Think about that. Christ didn't wait till we got our act together. Christ didn't wait till we got everything perfect in our life. Christ died for us while we were sinners. While we were out in our sin, while we were doing our own thing, while we were in chaotic life, Jesus didn't sacrifice his life for you because you had your act together. The cross event was not designed for those who were righteous, but for those people like each one of us that were in a state of rebellion against God. And we need to understand that it wasn't as if Jesus was hesitant to do this for us. He wanted to die for us because of his love for each one of us. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says this. Paul made this bold statement. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Think about how Paul could have said this. He remembered the testimony of the person that led him to the Lord. He remembered the testimony of the church. He remembered his salvation that came only by grace. And he says in this verse, "I'm crucified with Christ." But more importantly than that, he says, "Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Amen. Christ lives in me, through me, and he directs my daily path. Paul says, going just a little bit further, he says, "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Amen. Now God not only loved Paul, he loves you as well. God loves you in your rebellion. God loves you in your faults. God loves you in your chaotic life. God loves you regardless of what you've done. God loves you. Amen. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. Understand and accept the fact today that Jesus gave himself for you personally. You can say it over and over again with Paul. Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. Hebrews 2 verse 9. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." He didn't say just a few men. He didn't say just the Jews. He didn't say just the people that had their act together. He said Christ died for every man. Christ died for every sinner. Christ died for every person, whether they're black, whether they're white, whether they're red, whether they're yellow. It doesn't make any difference. God loves us all equally. God died for all of us equally. God made a way for all of us to become children of God. Some teach the false doctrine of limited atonement. They say that Jesus only died for certain people, not for everyone, but that's not true at all. Jesus died for everyone in the entire world, and that includes me and you. Jesus, secondly, took our place, our substitute. He was our substitute on the cross. Listen, if we all got what we deserved, we'd all die and go to hell. Amen. We would all die and go to hell if we got what we deserved. But God does not give us what we deserve. God gives us what he wants us to have. Amen. He applies that grace to everyone who will come and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. He applies that grace to their life and He changes their life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new.
Amen.
We are transformed totally when Christ comes into our life. When He gives us that grace, Jesus took our place. He was our sacrifice, our substitute. According to the Chicago Tribune, on June 22, 1997, parachute instructor Michael Costello, 42, of Mount Dura, Florida, jumped out of an airplane at 12,000 feet altitude with a novice skydiver named Garth Griffin, age 21. The novice would soon discover just how good his instructor was. For when the novice pulled his ripcord, his parachute failed. Plummeting towards the ground, he faced certain death. But the instructor did an amazing thing. Just before hitting the ground, the instructor rolled over so that he would hit the ground first and the novice would land on top of him. The instructor was killed instantly. The novice fractured his spine in the fall, but he was not paralyzed. One man takes the place of another, takes the brunt for another. One substitutes himself to die so that another may live. So it was with the cross. When Jesus died in our place, He became our substitute so that we would not have to face the penalty of our sin. Listen, Jesus died in your place. He paid the sin debt so that you would not have to face the penalty of your sin when you die. You will not be judged for your sin when you die. You will be judged for your works, for what you have done for God, for everything you have done for Him in this life. The Bible says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We will not be condemned for our sin. We will not be judged for our sin. We will be judged for our works. We trade our sinfulness for His holiness, our rebellion for His righteousness, our impurity for His spotlessness, our brokenness for His wholeness, our turmoil for His tranquility. 1 Peter 2:24 says this, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. Listen, my friend, do you believe all I'm telling you today? Have you accepted Christ as your substitute? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? If you haven't, it's not too late. Christ is still in the soul-saving business. Christ is still in the changed life business. He's offering you salvation. Come to Him today and admit that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Come to the altar and tell God you want to be saved. If you're here and you're lost, Jesus is waiting for you. Thirdly, Jesus planned for us the strategy. Our text tells us that the cross event was not an accident. It was what God the Father had planned. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. I delight in the fact that we always been part of God's plan. God's plan from the very beginning was to send Jesus to this world to die on the cross. When Adam and Eve sinned, God realized He had to shed the blood of an animal to forgive them of that sin they had committed and make a coat out of the animal He had slain and cover their sin. This the same way with you and I today. We must be covered by the blood of Jesus and covered by the cloak of righteousness which God applies to our lives. We cannot be made holy unless we come to Jesus Christ. God had planned from the very beginning of time to send Jesus. We're not an afterthought, not a second-hand wannabe child of God. We've always been on God's mind since the beginning of time. Fourthly, Jesus delivered us, our salvation. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present world, according to the will of God and our Father. Praise the Lord. He's on a rescue mission. He went to the cross to save us from Satan, the god of this age. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Do you realize that Satan is as busy as God? Satan is busy out there blinding the mind of those that are lost. Satan is busy trying to keep people from coming to the cross. Satan is busy deceiving people and telling them they're too bad to be saved. They committed too much sin to be saved. But let me tell you today, there's no one in this world that the blood of Christ cannot save. Amen. There's no one in this world that Jesus can't redeem. Listen, my friend, God planned from the very beginning was to send his son to die for you and I. You might be blinded to the truth I'm sharing with you today. You who are not yet Christians might be unaware that you were even living in captivity. I'm here today to tell you that the cross can set you free from all of the misery you're going through. I'm here today to tell you that Jesus is available to redeem you. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are the partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Do you realize that when Jesus died on the cross, he destroyed death for the Christian? You will not die when you die. You'll just be transported. Transported into paradise where God is at, where Jesus is waiting to bring you back to get your glorified body. Listen, my friend, Christ died for you. Christ wants you to be saved, and Christ wants you to be all he would have you to be. I say this, I accept what Jesus has done for me. There's nothing I can do but hold out my hands and receive the free gift that God is offering to me today. Thirdly and lastly, I reject false gospel. Paul has given us some wonderful news. The cross is the foundation for everything that we are, everything that we have, and everything that we want to be. I accept the authority of this message, and I accept what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We stand firm on the conviction that nothing else can take its place. Anything other than what Paul has given us here is a false gospel and must be rejected. Galatians chapter 1, look in verses 6 through 10. I marvel that you were so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men, or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please man, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul realized that there was false doctrine going on while he was preaching the true gospel. Paul realized that there were men that were perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ, adding to it, taking away from it. They were telling them that they must be circumcised to be acceptable to God. They were teaching them that they must keep the law in order to be acceptable by God. But Paul, the gospel of Christ is salvation by grace only. Salvation by grace only. Nothing added to it, no additions, no subtractions, no compromise. In conclusion, as we end our time together this morning, will you join me in stating with conviction these foundational statements concerning the gospel? Let's state them together in unison. I accept the testimony. Say it with me. I accept the testimony. Secondly, I accept the cross. I accept the cross of Christ being the only means of salvation. And thirdly, I will reject the false doctrine. I will reject the false doctrine of people that try to lead me astray. These three truths are the ground of our grace that I hope you can use to be all that God would have you to be. My friend, let me tell you something. Grace is a free gift from God.
Amen.
It does not, you cannot earn it. You cannot buy it. You cannot work hard enough to get it. Only by the grace of God can you be saved. Only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life will you ever get to heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come this morning and bring your word. We hope that everyone here heard this word. They will accept the testimony. That they will accept the cross of Christ. And they will reject all false doctrine. Help us as we live our lives to be a faithful Christian. And help us to always serve you in spirit and truth. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.